Hey, all you listeners, before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to take care of a couple legal issues and a little forbearance of what you're about to listen to. Some podcasts are somewhat explicit and touch on some harsh topics when it comes to the mental health field. Listener discretion is advised. Also, for the legal purposes and the protection of our show and guests, we'd like to also remind you that all these stories that are shared by everyone on air are alleged events that have occurred. Please keep that in mind. And again, we enjoy having you here. So welcome and enjoy the show.
Is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Podcast is an open door for those seeking a little hope to spark a fire. This is your host, Tony the Beat, and this is Spread Hope Like Fire, the podcast. Welcome, welcome. It's been an intense week. It's been like I've been in quarantine forever. I've gone out a few times. I don't know how everyone else is coping with this. I keep seeing posts and different information from different news sources, and I see that our medical staff is suffering. There is a shortage of protective gear. These people are on the front lines, and they are helping us as a nation and as a world, as we are finding ourselves in this darkness, to try to help us. But I don't see a lot of people talking about mental health. I don't see a lot of people talking about the silent trauma that's attacking us, the depression that's sneaking up on us, because most of us have, we've gone on with our day-to-day activities where we don't really have much time to think about life and how everything has been going. We find ourselves now quarantined, isolated, and that is not good for depression. That is not good at all. I mean, isolation is where that snowball starts to roll down the mountain and get bigger and bigger, and anxiety kicks in, all these emotions. One begins to freak out. One begins to get depressed and sink into this dark hole that they find themselves in. And I just want to be able to openly talk about mental health. And I was reading another article today that Selena Gomez has been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And so for those of you who do not know what bipolar disorder is, bipolar disorder, let me clarify, is not when you have all these erratic mood swings where you're angry, you're mad, you're happy, then you're depressed. No, that's far from what bipolar disorder looks like. What bipolar disorder truly looks like is that a person finds themselves at a constant low. They're emotions are at a low. They constantly stay there at this depressed rate for a long period of time, and then suddenly they will have a spike in energy and their mood will increase. Everything's going good for them, and at that period of time is when that bipolar disorder kicks in, is when the mood is elevated to an extreme, and then shortly after, you sink back into that low for a long period of time. So that's how bipolar disorder looks like. It's grossly misrepresented in our society, and I think that psychoeducating many people over this disorder is going to be helpful. She came forward, Selena Gomez came forward, so that she could maybe shed some light on those suffering at this time with this pandemic. It's not just a physical health toll that people are taking, it's a mental health toll that people are taking. They're finding themselves distraught. I've seen pictures of nurses and doctors just mortified, and they're at their all-time low. And a lot of people are debating online that I see, they don't have empathy or any sympathy for these people, which I find odd, because I was watching a video of a nurse who, before all of this really hit, she had quit her job as a RN. And so she picked her kids and her family over her job and got a lot of flack about it. A lot of people were very angry and upset and saying and telling this person that they knew what they were signing up for and that they should be disgraced with how they feel, which I believe is totally wrong. No one signed up for this pandemic. No one signed up, and no one knew just what this coronavirus was going to bring. I for sure didn't know. I thought this was just another SARS or swine flu, one of those epidemics or pandemics that we've experienced, but nothing to the extent where it's literally down the street from me and it's surrounding me. Everywhere I go, there's people wearing masks, there's people wearing protective gloves, people are being very cautious. When I go to the store, I do not take a cart. I grab what I can hold, and that's about all I get. It's just a very bad situation we're all finding ourselves in, and I want to call forth those who are suffering with mental health to reach out and seek the help. I know that there's many of you across the country that are listening, and a lot of you across the world that are listening to this podcast. If you are finding yourself in a place where you cannot see the light and you are surrounded by darkness, reach out. Reach out for someone. Call a therapist locally and try to get in. A lot of us therapists right now are doing telehealth to protect ourselves and our clients, because if we get infected with this virus and just so happen to die, then we are no good to our clients. And so a lot of us are taking the precautions to make sure to do telehealth. The office right now that I'm working at is closed. We are only accepting telehealth clients at this time. If you find yourself living on the central coast of California, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm taking on new clients as we speak. You can reach out to me. My email address is Anthony, A-N-T-H-O-N-Y, Garcia, G-A-R-C-I-A, M-F-T, Mary Frank Tony, @gmail.com. That's Anthony Garcia, MFT, @gmail.com. I work on a sliding scale. I also take insurance. I'm not trying to plug anything. I'm just trying to get people the help that they need. I know this is a difficult time for struggle for many of us. I'm trying to hold space for my clients. I'm trying to hold space for me, and I'm trying to do as much self-care as I can. This podcast just so happens to be one of my self-care tactics that I use, and it really does help to get the message out there to you guys, you lovely listeners out there that continue to support me even when I was on hiatus for a year. It shows that I've really made an impact on this world, even though to me, I may seem just it's very small and insignificant compared to others, but I know, and I've heard, and many of you listeners have reached out to me and told me how much I've affected you and got you through things. And that's That's honestly the reason I started this podcast. And I think it's awesome and amazing that I get to keep doing this and you guys all came back. For me, that is my legacy. This is my legacy and leaving my voice in the world. I'm glad that you join me every week. I'm trying to do this every week, but it's kind of difficult doing work, school. I'm in my doctoral program at Cal Southern, and I'm finding that very challenging on top of work and everything else that's going on. I found myself reading the same page in my textbook over about 30 to 40 times, not comprehending what was going on. Luckily, I passed my class. I am that type of person that I push myself. I try on a daily basis to push myself and make goals that I can achieve throughout the day. My therapist back in the day would always tell me that to get out of a depression or get out of a rut, set up some daily goals for yourself. One, make your bed. That should be your first and number one task for the day, is to get up, roll out of bed, make it, and go about your day and go about your tasks. And, you know, they don't have to be small. They don't have to be large. They can be whatever you want. Just make them where you can achieve them in a daily manner. And so when all said and done, you can look back throughout the week and see all the things you've accomplished, even the day. And you can always just build on that and build on that and just keep building your empire, because essentially we're going to all end up in the future, and it's going to depend on your hard work and what you do to persevere and how much you push yourself to keep going on in these really dark times that we're living in. It's made me think a lot. It's made me contemplate a lot. I'm happy where I am at. I do struggle still, especially missing my dog, Missy. There's just moments in life and time that I wish I could go back to, but I know I can't, and I'm fortunate, and I know God has blessed me to have that time that I did with my dog, and the time that I have with Shirelli, my mom, Mia, our new bundle of joy that hates me so very much. But I love her so much. If she would just open her heart just a little bit and let me in, it'd be golden. Golden, I tell you. But as many of you know, as a child, I struggled tremendously. I struggled to find safety, security, love in very uncertain moments of my life. I was not dealt the best hand, you know. Like Mr. Kenny Rogers said, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. I think he seen, you know, the stuff hitting the fan and decided I'm out. But I'm still here. I'm still playing the game. I'm still playing the cards I was dealt. And I'm still cashing in, trading up, and going on with my life. Many of you find yourself in the same set of circumstances at this current moment. You may feel like the world around us is being overtaken by unhappiness, depression, suicide, murder, or rape. There's been a great political divide, a great religious divide. There's just been a divide in humanity altogether. Instead of looking for solutions and coming to the world table to unite, everyone began to want to be the right person, the one to be heard, the one with the solution, the one that knew it all, the one that does know it all, the one that is right. Everybody wants to be right. And I've seen this so much before this pandemic. Everyone was bickering and fighting, and everyone wanted to be right. But what does that get you to be right? Does it get you more knowledge? Does it get you to understand? Does it get you to comprehend and accept things that are different than you? I live by Plato's words. I know that I know nothing, and I go into the world knowing nothing and wanting to learn, and that has got me to be able to empathize, understand, sympathize, and connect with people on a different level. It's not always about being right. It's not always about proving someone else wrong. It's not always about pushing someone down when they're already at a low state. It's about uplifting. It's about connecting. It's about bridging the divide, the gap, and understanding one another, that we're all different. The funny thing is, with all the hatred and everything that had overtaken the world prior to the COVID-19, you would switch on the TV every night and you would hear mass shootings at least twice a week. You would hear about terrorist attacks at least once a week. It was just pure madness, just madness going on. Many of you remember my friend Michelle that was in the Vegas shooting and all that she had to deal with from the post-traumatic stress that she's received from all of the trauma that she went through of almost losing her life and not knowing whether she was going to live or die that night. It was just very hard to hear my friend in so much pain. It's hard to hear how much pain the world is in at this moment, especially when it comes to mental health. I think that to a degree, the world has stopped to make us realize something. It's a lot that goes into it. We went from harming others to shutting down others, silencing others in the name of freedom and liberty. Where did it get us? It didn't get us far. Everyone is bickering and arguing, and it's okay to have your stance and want to stand up and fight for what you believe in, but not at the cost of shutting someone else down for believing in a whole different manner. As long as you're not hurting anyone, go for it. Do what you want. But don't hurt others on your journey. There are many more people out there suffering and would love to have what you have. Just remember that. And now I want to share a little bit of my talk with Dr. Smith of the Elmhurst Hospital and get her perspective of what's actually going on within the medical community and the stress and anxiety and all around chaos that they're experiencing. So I'd like to welcome Dr. Smith as she shares her story of the battle on the front lines of the COVID-19 crisis that we're experiencing right now.
All the patients in this room, all the feet that you see, they all have COVID. The frustrating thing about all of this is it really just feels like it's too little too late. Like we knew it was coming. Today is kind of getting worse and worse. We had to get a refrigerated truck to store the bodies of patients who are dying. We are right now scrambling to try to get a few additional ventilators or even CPAP machines. If we could get CPAP machines, we could free up ventilators for patients who need them.
You know, we now have these 5 vents. We probably, unless people die, I suspect we'll be back to needing to beg for ventilators again in another day or two. There's a mythical 100 vents out there, which we haven't seen. Leaders in various offices, from the president to the head of health and hospitals, saying things like, we're going to be fine, everything's fine. And from our perspective, everything is not fine. I don't have the support that I need, and even just the materials that I need physically to take care of my patients. And it's America, and we're supposed to be a first world country. On a regular day, my emergency department's volume is pretty high. It's about 200 people a day. Now we're seeing 400 or more people a day. At first, we were trying to isolate patients with cough and fever and be more careful around them, but we weren't necessarily being extra careful around all the other patients. And then we started to realize that patients who were coming in with no fever but abdominal pain actually had findings on their x-rays and chest CTs that were consistent with this coronavirus COVID-19. So if someone in a car accident gets brought in, we get a CT scan of them, and their lungs look like they have coronavirus. We were seeing a lot of patients who probably had COVID, but we didn't realize. 10 residents and also many, many of our nurses and a few of the attending physicians got sick. The anxiety of this situation is really overwhelming. You know, all of the doctors, it's hard for us to get tested even if we want to, even if we have symptoms. We're exposed over and over again. We don't have the protective equipment that we should have. I put on one N95 mask in the morning. I need to have that N95 mask on for every patient I see. I don't take it off all day. The N95 mask I wore today is also the N95 mask I wore on Friday. We're always worried that we'll be out of N95 masks. What's a little bit scary now is the patients that we're getting are much sicker. Many of the young people who are getting sick don't smoke. They're healthy. They have no comorbidities. They're just young, regular people between the ages of 30 and 50 who you would not expect to get this sick. So many people are saying it's going to be okay, everything's fine, we have what we need. And if this goes on for a month or two or three or five like it did in China, and we're already this strained, we don't have what we need. I don't really care if I get in trouble for speaking to the media. I want people to know that this is bad. People are dying. We don't have the tools that we need in the emergency department and in the hospital to take care of them. And it's really hard.
Now, I would just want to thank you, Dr. Smith, for sharing a tidbit of what is actually going on in hospitals in bigger metropolitan areas. It is something that we need to take seriously, and people need to stay home, self-isolate. I know that sounds harsh. I know it's no fun, and I know it plays a big role in the decline of your mental health. And so I'm here to talk to you. I'm here to open up. I'm here to take your questions. Leave me a message via Google Duo at tonythebeat85@gmail.com. You can leave an email. You can message me, and let's just open up the floodgates of trying to talk and reconnect as human beings, because we've pushed each other so far apart that we're now having to come closer in this pandemic, and there's people dying every day, and yet you are still alive, you're still breathing, you still have a chance. Think about the self-isolation that you're in. Just stand back and thank God for all the blessings that he's given you up until this point. Late 2019, the world began to change. It stopped to a degree. Why? Because of the pandemic. Yeah, but there is more than meets the eye. When was the last time you heard of a mass shooting on the news? Who's the last person to be reported kidnapped and murdered? When did all the protesting from both political parties stop? Where did all the evil in the world go? It locked us all in our homes. The virus that I did not ever, ever think would reach nearly as close as it did. It's down the street. It's down the street from me, and it's altered my life. It's altered your life. There's people on the front lines fighting, like Dr. Smith, for not just their lives, but their patients' lives, our lives. And so we need to take responsibility and stop going out to spread and contaminate one another so that we can stop this pandemic in its tracks. We need to come together. That is my message, is we are all the same. We are all images of God. We are all meant to be here, and we all have a purpose. And in doing so, it calls for us to help one another, pull the next person up. I wish I paid more attention beforehand. thinking that this was never going to get out of hand and that the news media was hyping this thing up and that we really had been duped. But seeing all that's been going on and hearing from Dr. Smith and being able to grasp just what it is to be on the front lines is, it's very saddening, and it's something that I never expected to see in my lifetime. Getting back to paying attention. As a child, I paid great attention to my surroundings and was always on alert. As you all know, how I grew up wasn't the best circumstances. I was broken by my father, who didn't care, want, or know, or how to love me, or show me the support, or how to cope with the world that I was about to face. But I did learn a lot from him, sadly. I learned that screaming and yelling at others does not make another person better understand you or solve any situation. I learned that once you take on responsibility, you do not squander that opportunity. I learned above all just how dark and evil the world could be and can be. On the other hand, I learned so much from my mom. She taught me how to love, how to be kind, how to give back in this evil world that we've been living in. I learned over time as well that I do not know everything. There is no all know and all be all. I take the perspective, like I said, of Plato. I know that I know nothing. I come to the table silent with my ears open to hear what it is that others are truly saying, so I can learn, so that I can help others. Putting your needs ahead of others in many instances is just what the world needs, especially right now at this time. I learned that hard work pays off. My mom cleaned houses for a living, and I'm proud of that. She provided food for us, a roof over our head. We didn't have the best of everything, but we had the love, and we were rich in that. The greatest gift that my mom gave us was my brothers and my sisters. Without them, I don't think I would be who I am today. With a lot of people that I've come into contact with, I don't think I would ever be the same that I am today. Every single person has played a great role in my life. Through my mom's hard work, she made great memories with many of her clients who actually just became her closest friends. She showed me that if you wanted something bad enough, you would do anything for it. Nothing handed to you will bring you the satisfaction that you get when you earn it, when you put work into it. Another thing I learned was that you give the love you have to others. After starting my journey, I realized that my purpose was to help. Help those who are stuck. Free those that are weighed down. Push others that don't think they can go any further. I was given this gift from God. I suffered so that I would know what it's like to feel like you absolutely have nothing anymore and nothing to lose. I urge the world to take this time to reconnect with each other, rejoin with each other, look around, rebuild those lost relationships. If you're feeling lonely, just know you're not alone. If you're feeling defeated, know you're not alone. If you feel like there is no escape, you're not alone. There is something waiting just around the corner that's going to surprise us all. I urge the world to take a moment and pray to God. Look to God, our Creator, for the strength that you may need at this moment. Look to God for the comfort. Look to God for the guidance, because He's there and He's waiting. I didn't come to this point in my life by mere chance, but God blessed me with everything I have and everything I've survived. And now I have a message, and I can help others that feel absolutely worthless, just like I did at one point in my life. And I had to do the hardest thing I ever have done. No, not quite. There's been harder things. I went back to school, became a therapist, and life happened around me along that journey. And life is still happening around me. Remember, you're stuck in isolation. Remember the loneliness. Remember that there's others in your life that feel the same way. Maybe it's time to make a little time to reach out to those. There's so many people out there that are lonely. There's probably family members of yours, grandparents, parents, children, cousins, aunts, uncles, whoever it may be. When this is all done, when we make it through this storm, remember that you still have those that love you And the isolation that you're feeling now is the isolation that they feel when you don't visit them, when you don't call them, when you don't check up on them. It's a harsh reality. I see it every year with the holidays that come around and the depression that hits, where there's a lot of people that are abandoned by their family. Just remember these people when all this quarantine stuff is over. I think it's important that we get back to reality, that we get back to understanding what is our purpose in life, and helping others, loving others, caring for each other, and breaking the stigmatism of mental health. That's why I'm here. I could go on for days, but unfortunately, our time has come to an end. I feel like Mr. Rogers sometimes, because it's not a beautiful day in my neighborhood. Although, the cool thing was that earlier today when I woken up, around like 11 o'clock in the morning, I heard all this honking and stuff. And it had been quiet since, like, because I was up at like 6 or so. And it had been quiet. It's usually quiet because there's no cars out anymore. And around 11 o'clock, I heard all this, like, ruckus and stuff. And I was like, what the hell? So I looked out the window, and some neighbors had gotten in their car and started a parade for, I don't know who, but they had signs all over their cars telling someone that they loved and missed them. And it was all headed off by that and, you know, music, people screaming and waving. And it ended the best. There was a guy in the back of a truck playing the drums. And I was like, dude, that is so awesome. That is amazing. This is what the world needs. We need to be able to show each other the love, to be able to reconnect. I keep saying that over and over again, but I truly mean it. I want to be able to come out of this pandemic, this crisis on the other end, and see that we learned something from this, that sticking our heads in our phones all day, texting someone, that, you know, social media has brought us, pushed us so far away from each other that we don't even talk to people in the same room. It's weird. Sometimes Shirley and I will text each other with other people in the room, and, or like, we'll just even be in the same room and text each other because we're just weird. Use the technology in a good way. Call your grandma, call your grandpa, call your mom, your dad. But other than that, my weekend is going to be kicking off pretty soon with the whole editing of this episode. I urge you guys to recommend, like, share on all your platforming, social media, TikTok, MySpace. Tell your Uber driver, play my mixtape, because that is some hot stuff. But I encourage you all to keep spreading hope like fire. And tell a friend, tell your family members, tell your ex-girlfriend that you enjoy listening to this podcast. And let's get this fire erupted. Let's get it burning. Let's have the world change. Let's change it for the better. As always, you can support this podcast through Patreon. I honestly do not remember the website. I think it's like patreon.com/spreadhopelikefire. If not, it's patreon.com/spreadhopelikefirepodcast. You can reach out to me via email. That's anthonygarciamft@gmail.com. You can ask me questions. Support the podcast if you can. It's a work of love. And rate, review, subscribe, get the word out. Until next time, I wish you peace. I wish you calmness. I wish you love. And I wish your safety. Until next time. For Tony the Beat, I'm Tony the Beat. Let's get out of here. Spread Hope Like Fire is a production of the Spread Hope Like Fire Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit. As always, I like to remind everybody, the things that we discuss upon the podcast are not a substitute or a replacement for seeking treatment and getting professional help. If in fact you are struggling with your mental health, we urge you to please reach out to your community and see which professionals are accepting new clients and get that professional help and talking to that professional that you need. This show is intended as an educational and informational psychoeducation of the field of psychology. For Spread Hope Like Fire and Anthony G, I'm Anthony G, and we will see you later.